delusions. What in the world is a delusion? Well, it's deceit, it's error. And when you're led astray by your opinions, your about morals or religion, anything you falsely believe, whatever the facts. You know the famous statement? Don't confuse me with the facts. My mind's made up. The facts. You don't believe the facts, and you're deceived. Are American people, church people, all people, subject to false beliefs, despite the facts? Are they led astray by personal opinion, ethnic bias? Is that possible? Are you content in these delusions? Apathetic? Maybe indifferent. You just don't care. Why do you get deluded? What causes it? Well, first you have personal opinion. Where do you get the personal opinion? Is it just generated out of your own bones? You got it from popular ideas, family ideas, ethnic bias, conventional practice, endorsements. You really know that Nike is the best shoe? Well, Michael Jordan says it is. Greedy others. Are you in good hands with Allstate? Well, we have a man on there that says, yes, you are. Do people believe in horoscopes, in astrology? Yeah, over half the American public. Imagine that. Absolutely no scientific basis whatsoever. A supposedly enlightened country, the source of the enlightenment is France. In France, they have more professional astrologers than they have medical doctors. Enlightened by their delusions. We're influenced, or are we? Are you influenced by TV, by radio, by advertising, by personalities? I think you'd probably say, yeah, probably. Are you influenced to understand you think facts are true because it's in Christian fiction? Well, the most popular so-called Christian fiction is filled with delusions and false ideas. And then there's Satan himself. He is the source. First Timothy tells us, of all heresies and false religious teaching. He said it, no marvel. Satan himself is transformed as an angel of light. Did you know that? He was once an angel of light, one of the guardians of the holiness of God called Lucifer, until he fell. He said if that's the case, you know, one of the delusions is that if a man wears a red suit with a pitchfork and a tail on him and horns on his head and so forth, that's all a delusion. Not true. He's transformed as an angel of light. And his teachers said he's transformed as ministers of righteousness. Is it possible that a minister of Satan would be in the pulpit? Oh, absolutely. You hear the voice of the minister. He has gray hair. He wears holy garments. How could he possibly be wrong? He's anointed by his church. Well, Satan speaks to such people, leads them astray. In fact, one of the sources of false delusion, according to Scripture, is the shepherds or pastors who lead them astray. Or they don't teach them the word. my dear friends, as you told me this morning, concerning your pastor. He'll teach the word. What did he teach? It's whatever's popular with the people. They do surveys. They make pop psychology. What will help me? Things like that. Satan. Well, I think the devil gets blamed for too much. I think sometimes he's blamed for stuff that's not his fault. He has enough things to be blamed for. First of all, the enemies of the Christian are said to be in Scripture threefold. Not one, not just the devil. The famous statement of television of a few minutes, many years ago, the devil made me do it. Well, the devil may not have been the one that made you do it. There's the world system, cosmos, not the inhabited earth. There's two or three different words for world, translated world in our Bible. It's the system around us, political, social, cultural, whatever it may be. It's the system. It's controlled by him. And the devil has tremendous authority in that area. But it cannot be denied that the world has tremendous appeal even for professing believers. Hence, they're often described as worldly, worldly-minded, worldly in their thinking, worldly in their ambitions and their orientation, world-oriented, not God-oriented. Then there's the flesh, the sinful nature. It will be one of the messages in the, I believe, next week in Romans 7, the sin nature working within us. You may want to do right, but there's a sin nature working in you against that. It makes you susceptible to temptation and to delusions. The sinful nature. Now, many times the sinful nature is blamed, but more often than not, the devil and his demons are blamed. C.S. Lewis, the famous Christian writer and philosopher, once said, "The thing about demons," he said, "you either think too much about them, or you know, you think too little about them." Either extreme. In popular delusions, we speak of the demon of obesity. Did you know that? There was a demon in you. That's why you're obese. There's the demon of lust. Well, there are physical sicknesses and afflictions that spring from demonic oppression. That is true, the scripture says. But a lot of these things about obesity and lust, a special demon that works to that end, are absolutely false. Popular delusions. I would think the most popular of all might be romantic delusions. Romantic. Oh, they'll change after I marry them. I'll change them later. And you've not accepted the famous dictum of our black friends, what you seize is what you get. Really not fair to a person to marry them on the bet that you are going to change them, but they're very confident they're going to do that. How could it be wrong when I have these feelings, this old black magic running up and down my spine, this shiver in my liver, it must be of God. That's how you know true love. It's a delusion. Romantic. I don't know of any area I can say that a counselor more difficult to give counsel is in matters of romance or matters of the heart. You can beat some woman to a pulp, threaten her life and her children and everything else. She won't even prosecute him in court. Why? Because I love him. If she imagined that he loves her. Oh, he said, I'll change. That's a delusion that you believe it. purchasing products. This will infallibly work. It's the ultimate development in products. I love that word, ultimate. The final word. Can you trust product announcements? Well, most people do. Most people trusted the Philip Morris company many years ago when it advertised that its famous Marlboro lights were healthier than ordinary cigarettes. The federal court now is going to charge him $17 billion for lying to the consumer. They weren't one bit healthier. They weren't one bit healthier. Man, you can even get cancer from secondhand smoke. Products. I won't enumerate all the other phony baloney claims on products. But a lot of them, as you believe, they're delusions. The cigarettes. Science fiction. My goodness. You would think that people would have better sense than to believe that science fiction, which is called fiction, is factual and should be believed. Is there life on other planets? Well, over half the American people believe there is. Now, it wouldn't harm my faith if there were. I mean, God could plant people like us on all the planets. But the question is, did he? Well, half American people did. And they have whole industries built on it. People coming to see the evidences that the flying saucers came down, like Roswell, New Mexico. They make money off gullible tourists to go down there and look at it. I read just this past week that a man from the UC astronomy department, very much interested in life on other planets, and he's got all these people that got computers out there scanning all these galaxies for looking for life. He said, of course, there's only 1 in 10,000 chances that there is. Now, this is the big proponent of life on next other planets. 1 in 10,000. I don't know if there are any gamblers here this morning, but I don't think you'd gamble on those kind of odds, would you? 10,000 to 1? You'd do better than that on the California lottery. That it's worse than 1 in 10,000. I have the scientific bibliography now that says life here is so delicately tuned, we don't realize how delicately tuned it is, whether it's distance from the sun and tilt of the planet and atmospheric sources and on and on and on and on. The chances of any extraterrestrial life are 10 to the 245th power, meaning 10 followed by 200 zeros. In other words, you can't count them by millions, billions, trillions, quadrillions. They have to have bigger figures than math. They call them Googles. The figures are so staggering against that. I wonder how many gamblers would play those odds. And yet, half the American people believe in flying saucers, sucking people up into them and examining their bodies and doing all sorts of things like that. They're sold on that. Make movies about it. They believe it. Then there's interplanetary travel, you got Star Trek, the Trekkies, you know. They think it's true. Yet where there's no time, there's no means to go such distances without aging or destroying, no vehicle could possibly do it. In fact, there's no convincing life in spite of the most zealous attempt by the United States government via NASA and SETI to find life even on Mars, which is supposed to be the ideal planet. They've dug and they couldn't find it. And they've looked for it, and they've sent one of the reasons these astronauts get killed. They want to send them over there to dig down the ground, find water. If they found water, they wouldn't find proof of life. Now here, this past week, they didn't even risk the life of an astronaut because there's too much radiation on Mars. And that's the ideal planet. Oh yeah, people believe in science fiction. It's a delusion. But I want to talk about five major anti-biblical delusions. These are far more serious than you want to believe life on other planets. It didn't make any difference to me. You don't believe you can change somebody romantically. You want to smoke tobacco and think it won't hurt you, that's fine. But they're not destructive of the soul. Anti-biblical delusions are destructive. First, what do the people believe? This is the overwhelming conviction of the majority of the American people. The way to be saved is to earn it or deserve it. Deserve it. By what means? By human works, personal righteousness, religious acts, rituals, church membership, baptism, adding to, yeah, we believe in Jesus died on the cross for our sins, but that's not enough. That's just a down payment. You have to add other things to it. God is too good and loving to ever send anyone to hell, if there was such a place, which they don't believe. Really. You think you deserve heaven? Would you stand before God and say, you should let me into heaven. I deserve it. I earned it by my life down here. Would you care to face God and say that to him? Now you think that's true. Because every person that believes in whole or in part in salvation by works, rather than salvation by grace, really believes they've earned it. They deserve it. God owes you. Okay? Well, what does the scripture say?
Jesus often used that expression, nevertheless, what says the scripture?
That's a good question, isn't it? 2 Ephesians 2:8-9 is the classic. By grace,
which is undeserved favor, means you don't deserve one nickel for it.
I want to testify this morning that the living God does not owe me a thin dime, no matter how much I preach. Never. He owes me nothing. Everything he does for me is in grace. Absolute, totally undeserved by me. I publicly confess that. And it's by grace I've been saved, through faith, the essential means. I simply believe what God says, very simply. And I act upon it accordingly. I don't only believe in the head. I respond to it by the acts of faith. That's why faith is called the obedience of faith. You believe. You say, yeah, I believe. I hear people go around saying, yeah, I believe every word from the Bible. Do you really? Well, I believe in God. Do you really? Well, then, if you believe in God, you believe in God's Word, then you'll say this. The way to be saved is not by human works. You don't deserve it. It's not of yourself. It is a gift of God. I'm very grateful for people giving me things. I think I've become a perpetual leech. This suit, somebody complimented me on my suit. This suit was a gift. Of course, it's true, the guy took my suit to the cleaners and had it all mangled, but he didn't have to do it. I mean, he was a good person and bought me a suit. Every rag I have is given to me and bought by somebody else. I'm taken out by people all the time, like Chuck Fianaka and Ron Chin, people like that, buy my lunch and pick up the bill. I think I've become a leech. I deserve it. And I appreciate it. I appreciate it. And I receive, see behind that, the grace of God to me The Lord's looking after me. I don't use the expression, He's a shield about me. I say, God watches my back. Being from Texas, you know, you have to watch out for back shooters. He watches my back. I'm looking after you. He is. Second great anti-biblical delusion. People believe that most people are basically good. Would I have a show of hands? Just tell me, how many ever heard that? If you haven't said it, raise a hand. I look around the audience. This is the universal given. They're mostly basically good. Is that true? Well, incidentally, it's I discovered I've been doing some research on Islam and other cults. It's Islamic teaching. They think people are basically good. That's why they expect God to accept them into heaven. Are most people basically good, according to Scripture? Well, the Bible says, Romans 3:12, there is none who does good, not even one. Not one. One perfect man ever lived. You know who he was? And even the Quran says that. He lived a sinless life. Jesus. He never sinned. Isn't it remarkable? He never sinned. But we have. And one sin makes you what? A sinner. That's all it takes. Just one. You keep the whole law, you offend in one point, you're guilty of all. I used to have a business associate. There was a slogan that day of Ivory Soap. It's 99.44% pure. And he said, never forget Jesus. Jane, he said, it's 56.100% rotten. Politics. Politics. Well, we believe in falsehood. It's a delusion. Three. Another one is that people believe the world is progressing to a better day. They think that. By what means? Well, we have education. We have enlightenment. We have technology. We'll have improved economic conditions. And we have governmental laws. And we have the United Nations. You're going to have universal peace. Do you really believe that? What does the Bible say? 2 Timothy 3:13. Evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deluded. You're kidding yourself. You see, that's the thing, is the ultimate penalty of a habitual liar is this. Ultimately, the liar believes his own lies to be the truth. Have you known that? They stand there with tears rolling down their face. And I'm sure, as they tell a lie, they believe it's so. Several years I did prison work. You could hardly find a prisoner who was there who ever said, listen, I'm here on a true rap. I got what was coming to me. They don't say that. They don't say that. It's all a bum rap. Not true. Matthew 24 says lawlessness will increase lawlessness. You know what's wrong? You do it anyway. And the love of most people will grow cold. Love for God and love for others. This is a world that cries out for love. Yet the prospects are going to get colder. You'll find in the future that people will not be able to love even to the extent they love today. Neither will I. In the 19th century, among the post-millennialists believe that we're going to clean up the earth and then Jesus will come back. They had a a fatuous saying. Every day, in every way, the world is getting better all the time. I don't think any of you believe that nonsense today. Don't believe that. And those of you here who are older, you don't even believe that today is better than it was 50 years ago, where you can let your children walk on the street with buddy, like my wife did when she was young. You can leave your keys in the car. Nobody would steal it. You didn't have to lock your houses or anything like that. You didn't have all the drug problem and violence problem and all that kind of stuff. You didn't have any of that. Don't believe it's better than it was 50 years ago. Live's worse. Any of you who live from that generation to this generation knows absolutely it's worse. And we're moving. As we used to say, faster than a dog can trot, but we're going in the wrong direction. So it gets better. It gets worse. In the future, we'll look back on today as the golden age. It's better now today than it's ever going to be in the future. I said, boy, you are really grim this morning. People believe, the fourth illusion, that there will be peace and understanding in our day. Or at least somewhere in the world in the future. Especially including Israel, between the Arabs and the Palestinians. Now, my friend, the rabbi here, I often speak of him. He really believes that someday the Jews and the Palestinians are going to get together in happy fellowship. I really don't see too much evidence of that, do you? And they're killing each other with greater rapidity than ever. And sowing seeds of hatred, not only for each other, but for this country. And they hate this country because we support the nation of Israel, and rightly so. Yeah. No, there's not going to be peace and understanding in our day. Scripture says to the very end, one of the signs of his coming is wars and what? Rumors of wars. Do we have it? We've had more wars in this century than any other time. Had World War I and World War II. That's the biggies. Though we had other wars. We had Vietnam. Had Korea, had the Gulf, now had Iraq. Those are many wars all over Africa and everywhere else. And racial hatred and tribal hatred and everything. Friends in this congregation who were born and raised in Africa will tell you that the great curse in Africa is tribalism, is hatred between the tribes. They all got the same color, but they hate each other. And that's true in the Balkans today. All those people that I found from personally visiting there, they all hate them. They don't only hate the Turks, they all hate each other. Filled with hatred. Because not only the wars and rumors of wars, it's growing hatred everywhere. Now the Bible says to the future there will be great tribulation such as not occurred since the beginning of the world until now and never shall be thereafter. He says it's going to be the worst time coming we've ever known in the history of the world. Think of that. My goodness, we had over 50 million people killed in connection with World War II. Worse than that. Great tribulation. When is that going to occur? Just before Jesus comes back to Israel, Matthew 24. In fact, at that time, when they shall say peace and safety, the people really want it and hope for it. And then he says, then comes sudden destruction. The person who will offer them safety and peace will be the Antichrist, and they will go on to him with his wonderful talk. His leadership of the European Confederation, which he will lead. His military prowess, guaranteed peace, he says. So they're going to think we're going to have peace. They're not.
They're on the eve of the worst time in the history of the world that's coming.
Fifth biblical delusion, anti-biblical delusion, that the Jews have no place in God's plans for the future, having forfeited all the promises made to them by God by their rebellion, stubbornness, and rejection of their true Messiah, Jesus. Is that true? It's astonishing, I've been doing some historical inquiry of the New Testament period. I'm doing some archaeological work on confirmations of the New Testament text and history. How many people said there's absolutely no connection between the Judaism and Christianity? The truth of the matter is Christianity is rooted in Judaism. 25% of the entire New Testament is a quotation from the Old that's fully accepted as the Word of God. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Moses and David, is your God and is my God. That's the only God there is. He says, has God forsaken his ancient people? The question is asked in Scripture. Is that true? Well, he's certainly not with them now, but it says this to the future, Romans 11:26, all Israel will be saved, just as it is written, the deliverer whose Messiah will come forth out of Zion or Israel, and he will remove ungodliness from Jacob, which is to say the Jews, and all ungodliness on earth, and bring in everlasting righteousness. That is, the surviving remnant, that is, who survive the great tribulation, there will not be many, and who accept Jesus as their Messiah. All God's not finished with Israel. That's why I read every scrap of news. I can read every, and they're in the paper every day. There's a little rinky-dink nation with 6 million people. It's in the press every single day, isn't it? Good night. The province of Uttar Pradesh in India. One province of India had 110 million people. We don't hear anything about Uttar Pradesh. You probably never heard of it. You ain't heard about this little nation, though, don't you? God says this, there's going to be a thorn in the mouth of the nations. They're a headache. They're like Jonah in the belly of the great fish who swallowed him and couldn't digest him. The nations of the world cannot digest the Jews. They're forever separated. Well, you believe. You want your delusions? You're welcome to them. Or you can believe God's Word. I have read you God's Word. And you have left Bibles available. Find out if I read truthfully. 1 John 5:10 says, the one who does not believe God has made him a liar. I've had lots of people, and there may be at least one or so here this morning, to tell me, I don't believe like you people believe. I said, what is it you don't believe? I don't believe the Bible. You don't believe in the Word of God? What is it you don't believe? Well, you know. They're non-specific. I'd like to go to map with them, you know. Tell me what it is that you don't believe. We'll sit down and we'll see. Are you right or are you deluded? I said, do you believe the words of James? He said, well, not all of them. Not all of them. I said, well, why don't you call him a liar? Oh, I wouldn't do that. Well, why not? You in your heart, you don't believe him. You're calling him a liar. You who don't believe in the Scriptures, get up. Shake your fist right now in the audience. You have my permission. You're a liar. I don't believe you. I said, well, I wouldn't do that. Why not? It's true in your heart. Why don't you have guts enough to say it? You believe God's a liar. And he said so, because you don't believe him. Now, you better believe him when he says something about all these anti-biblical delusions. About 2 weeks ago, I had a dream. That's not unusual for me. I have dreams almost every night. Strange dreams. I'd drive Sigmund Freud crazy interpreting my dreams. I have funny dreams. Remember one night I had to wake up in the middle of the night laughing at one of my dreams. I said, this is ridiculous, you know, waking myself up. But listen to this dream. I had a dream in which there was cold water and a broken glass. And none was touching my tongue, but I wanted it. Isn't that a strange dream? I wanted this cold water to touch my tongue, just like the wrestling in hell. But it wouldn't. My glass was broken. And then the scriptures came to mind this next morning. Jeremiah 2:13. It speaks of the broken cisterns which contain no water. Broken cisterns of this life. That you seek for satisfaction, which water indicates life and satisfaction in the things of this world, the things of this life to which you so desperately cling. But you can't find it. I know what it is to look for that. I'm like, I had the personal experience in my life of what the hymn writer wrote, and that's the theme of my testimony. I tried the broken cisterns, Lord, but ah, the waters failed. E'en as I stooped to drink, they mocked me as I wailed. Now none but Christ can satisfy, none other name but He. There's life and love and lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in Thee. I tried the cisterns. I tried the pleasures of this life. I tried to find it in celebrities and meeting prominent people. You know, and I'd go back and brag on my friends. I took hands with Eleanor Roosevelt when FDR was president. We went to Washington. I said, yeah, I was in the White House. Took hands with them. Bucky Fuller. Many others. Claire Booth Luce. I met them all. And it isn't satisfying. Education, glory. That's why I joined the Marines. They got glory. I didn't believe General Sherman wore as hell. And I saw colleagues of mine in the Marines and my college mates killed in action. Wasn't any glory. And I said to myself, see, you got idealosis, you're neurotic. What you need to do is get out of the Marines. Go back. Start all over again. Go to law school. Be a Texas lawyer. I'm so glad God rescued me from being a Texas lawyer. Someone once said to me, Gene wanted to study the law, but God called him out from under it and taught him to preach grace instead. Yeah. Oh, I was dead set on it. I got discharged in San Diego. I tore off my uniform, dumped it in a trash can. Boy, was I in a hurry to play. I wouldn't even wait for a bus or a plane. I caught a taxi cab from San Diego to Los Angeles. Now, there's a man in a hurry. Reaching in my pocket, pulled out my overseas pay, wet my finger and started to count, you know. I spent 2 weeks down there playing some of those Hollywood bobbleheads. I had a girlfriend named Sherry, whose father ran a saloon, parlor, whatever you want to call it, Jerry's joint. We went to the Palladium, we danced to Tommy Dorsey, we rumbled here and rumbled there. But one morning after 2 weeks of that nonsense, I woke up, looked at myself in the mirror, and saw those circles under my eyes. I didn't like what I saw. I said, this ain't it.
And God said, now, you're prepared to listen. You're prepared to listen. And I'm prepared to let you know how to get saved. And he did. Man, within 60 days, he brought me up to this area, which is where I've been ever since. And he saved me. Oakland, California. 1946. In a little room I rented on Lakeshore Avenue. I still remember the address. 4072 Lakeshore Avenue. I knelt and I said, I know I'm a sinner. And I want to accept you as my Savior. I want to be saved. And I must have thought God was stupid or something. I went over the whole thing twice, just in case he didn't get it straight. Yeah, you can't, an important matter like that, you can't leave God confused. I mean, business. Well, I found satisfaction in Jesus. And I've never regretted that decision. I want to ask you if you found that satisfaction. The satisfaction which will last forever. You found it?
Yes.
Amen. All right, let's rise and pray. Yeah. Said my piece. And I didn't fall down. Lord Jesus, thank you for delivering us from these delusions to the truth of God's Word. And we want to find satisfaction, eternal satisfaction and salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, Messiah, who has come and who's coming again. Come, Lord Jesus, we pray in your precious name. Amen.